welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Lincoln head coach Jermaine Gales.
Well, bouncing back to last week, we won't dwell on this too much, but obviously it's a 59-0 loss, just 50 yards of total offense for you guys. So just kind of what went wrong there?
We lacked a little experience. We didn't get them, prepared enough to play a ball game versus the caliber opponent that we were up against.
So, yeah, moving into this week, just kind of how do you flush that loss and get prepared for another one?
Well, we always talk about here at Lincoln University football, we talk about having thick skin and a short memory. All we can worry about is the best week of the year, which is the current week of the year. So we've already put that one to bed, and we're going to try to figure out how to get first downs and get touchdowns going forward to this week.
So, yeah, you're moving into a game against Fort Hays State. Offensively, they seem pretty balanced. They're about 50-50 split. So just kind of what have you noticed most from their offense?
They're sound. They have a great scheme. They're able to generate points. They're able to generate big plays when given the opportunity. They have very talented receivers, very talented running backs, and that quarterback is, in the upper echelon in the league. So, they're formidable for sure, and we've got our hands full.
Yeah, defensively, it seems like they're a pretty opportunistic group. They're averaging about 2 takeaways a game. So just kind of what jumps off the page defensively from them?
They've got really talented linebacker core. Their defensive front is good. Their secondary is awesome. But the thing that jumps out is they play as a cohesive unit. They are where they're supposed to be doing what they're supposed to do at a high level. They're going to pursue the ball well, have ill intentions when they get there.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Lincoln head coach Jermaine Gales. And, Trevor, we kind of had a feeling with a struggling Northwest Missouri State team that was going to be a get-right game for the Bearcats last week, and it was get-right to the tone of 59-0. So how little fun would it have been to have been at that game?
Yeah, it didn't sound like much fun to be at for anybody there, whether that was a Northwest fan or anybody cheering for the Blue Tigers. It was pretty much over at the beginning of the second quarter, shortly into the second quarter. I don't think Lincoln had a first down at that point, and Northwest scored touchdowns on their first 5 drives.
Right.
So, they jumped out to a 35-0 lead, took a 42-0 lead, I believe, into halftime. And, yeah, it was basically over after that. Lincoln had to switch to Jalen Thomas at quarterback because Xavier Vaughn was getting beat up pretty bad. He ended 4 of 16 passing. So not much you can do to help your quarterback there, so they just kind of had to take him out.
So let me ask you a question. Is 25 carries for 2 yards any good?
Not ideal. Not ideal, and neither is 48 passing yards. So,
right.
Northwest ended with more points than Lincoln had total yards.
Yeah.
And that is a formula to lose every single game you play in. I think it is impossible to win if that happens. So, yeah, it was an ugly offensive day, which was to be expected with Northwest big defensive front, with Lincoln dealing with the offensive line issues that it had been dealing with. So you couldn't have expected much going in, but I think everybody involved would have liked to see a little bit more, that's for sure.
The bad news is as we turn our attention to tonight's game, is the fact that we now play a team that beat that Northwest Missouri State team already this season. So the question becomes then, how ugly could tonight get? That team in question is Fort Hays State. They're only 2-2 on the season, but one of those 2 wins is that aforementioned win over Northwest Missouri State. So that's kind of one of those. Okay, I don't know what to make of that. Plus, it's Fort Hays State's homecoming tonight. So all of it goes to say, probably not another ideal situation to be the Blue Tigers to be putting themselves in tonight.
Yeah, Fort Hays State is heavily favored in this matchup tonight. I don't think that's a question. And yeah, they held Northwest to, I believe, 7 points. Their defense has been pretty dominant.
6 points, 17-6 win.
Yeah, six, even better. They held them without a touchdown.
Right.
And we just mentioned that Northwest scored on their first 5 possessions last week. So, yeah, things are not looking pretty for this matchup tonight. It's a Fort Hays State team that you mentioned is celebrating homecoming. They're going to be pretty amped up for that one. And, yeah, I mean, just not many things are pointing well for the Blue Tigers for this one.
Including the yo-yo of a season that Fort Hays State's having from a standpoint of, you go, okay, they win to start the season, then they lose, then they win, then they lose last week. That would tend to make you think that they're going to win this week. But it is, let's dive into that for a little bit from the standpoint of, so they start off and they win 56-0 against Northeastern State, which that's kind of maybe not surprising. Then lose to Pitt State, where you go, fair enough, that happens. But then they get that win against Northwest, and then they follow it up with the kind of the weird loss to Missouri Western. So you're like, what's going on with this team and the lack of kind of maybe consistency or ability to build on a win after you get one?
Yeah, last week's definitely the head-scratcher in that one. Obviously, you expect a win against Northeastern State, and you probably expect a loss against Pitt State. Coming off a Northwest a victory against Northwest, the way they won that game and just kind of how they physically imposed their will on them and just kind of dominated their way through that game. You would kind of expect against a Missouri Western team they're kind of down this year. They're not necessarily a great team. So, yeah, you come into that one and kind of expect a win, and then they kind of lay an egg. And
right.
They throw 3 interceptions, Jack Dawson did, and just 7 points against a defense that I was not all that impressed with watching in person. So that's really the one that's kind of surprising, and you could also spin that into that doesn't bode well for Lincoln this week.
Right. We've not mentioned it a lot because we didn't want to call attention to it really, but that loss last week for Lincoln is now loss number 30 in a row, spanning a couple seasons. It's the second longest streak right now, active streak in any level of NCAA football. Not great.
Yeah, they came dangerously close to being the longest last week. I was kind of paying attention to that Fort Lewis game, and yeah, they had.
Who's at 32 now?
They are at 32. Lincoln is at 30. They had a chance last week on the last drive of the game to go down and kick a game-winning field goal, and they threw an interception with about 25 seconds left, just outside of field goal range.
Okay.
So I was kind of paying attention to that whole fourth quarter because it's like, oh, this is going to be noteworthy if Lincoln ends up with the longest active losing streak in all of college football. And yeah, it almost seems like a ticking time bomb at this point if they don't get one next week or the week after. So yeah, that's not a streak you want to be involved in, and Lincoln kind of has fallen on the wrong side of that.
So I guess the question is there any indication of things getting better, either from the standpoint of, you know, people getting healthier, you know, things starting to click at some point? I mean, did Coach Gale sound like a man that was still kind of optimistic about what's in front of them at this point?
I will give him credit. Either he is very good at hiding it from me, or he is still optimistic.
Okay.
And I believe it's the latter. He has optimism, and you can point to the fact that they do have their 2 starting tackles on the offensive line coming back this week, and Xavier Stewart and Tyler Durbeck. So that has been the major issue. When I was kind of talking to him off the record about last week's game, it's, hey, like, kind of what was going wrong? And pass pro was a big issue. That's kind of why you saw Xavier go 4 for 16 passing and then end up with 2 rushing yards on 25 attempts. So, yeah, when you're facing MIAA schools and the offensive line play is really bad, it's impossible. Almost impossible at that point to have a functioning offense. So maybe once they get the continuity back with the starting offensive line that started the year but didn't get to play much together, if they can get that kind of rolling again, I think the rushing attack that we saw early in the season can kind of make a return. And Xavier Vaughn's getting healthier.
Okay.
That was one thing I talked to Gales about. It's like, obviously, he was running around quite a bit for his life last week. How did he handle that? How did he look? And it's like, he's still in a little bit of pain, but he looked more like himself outside the pocket. They're still not necessarily going to go back to calling read options and all this stuff, or design getting him the football in his hands and running. because he did mention that Emporia State game, he was the best athlete on the field, but we just haven't been able to see that since because he's been banged up. So getting him back, hopefully he can get healthy in the next few weeks, and then the offensive line play, getting that healthy, kind of is a big bonus for them to go along with the injuries that keep piling up elsewhere.
Right. It is one of those things where you look and go, it's just painfully obvious how there are really no quick fixes for football teams. It's like, you know, if you're talking about basketball, if you get one or two good signees, then all of a sudden you get a turnaround. Baseball is a little bit trickier with more players. Same thing with softball. You can't do it overnight, but you can have some people make some impact that all of a sudden can alter things. Man, it's just so much harder when you're talking about, you know, even if you bring in like what we think Xavier Vaughn can be as a difference maker quarterback, if he doesn't have enough time to do what makes him special, then it just doesn't matter. And then it's just another thing that just goes to that kind of depth problem that Lincoln's had from the standpoint of, it's like, yeah, if it's just like, this is the squad we got, and then all of a sudden we don't have all those guys, then it just becomes even harder. And it's just, again, you're not playing in a league. And again, I get the fact that they're non-conference games this year, but you're playing all MIAA teams. It's not a league you can mess around with and just go, we'll cobble it together, or we'll figure it out on the fly. That's not the case.
Yeah, it's not a sport, kind of like you mentioned in basketball, where if one or two guys get hot, you can beat anybody. Or baseball, if a guy goes out and spends a complete game shutout, you know you're going to have a chance.
Right.
You have so many holes to fill on a roster. Obviously, you have 22 starters just on offense and defense, and then you have backups, and you have special teams. And it's just such a difficult process to build a college football program, especially when you're building from essentially nothing.
Yeah.
That Gales took over. So it's a long process, and they've kind of figured it out, and they're staying optimistic, so I give them props on that. And they're just what they keep saying to me is, if we can just get one, if we can just get one, things will start to fall into place.
Right.
And you can actually maybe get the message across a lot better to 20-year-old kids when it's
right.
Like, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to try our hardest this week, and we're going to come out on the right side if we do everything right. If you say that every single week and then the 59-0 stack up, it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Yeah, football is just such an unrelenting sport when it comes to that, and it's just a really difficult thing to build a program.
Yeah. So I guess I'll just ask you, is this the week that the breakthrough comes, or do we have to wait for another week for a possible breakthrough?
I think the streak gets to 31, unfortunately, and I don't necessarily think this is going to be a pretty one for Lincoln tonight. Hopefully they can build some offensive momentum that they can take into homecoming next week against Northeastern State, which is the most winnable game on the schedule.
Right.
So if it's going to happen, you would think it'd be next week. So I don't think it'd be this week. And final score prediction, I will go 49-10 Tigers, and
all
not
right.
The blue kind.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter @TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.